Good evening. The title of what I want to talk about tonight, man, that got loud all of a sudden, is The Gifts That Keep On Giving. Now, I'm not talking about the Jelly of the Month Club when I talk about the gifts that keep on giving. And I'm going to ask a question, and I've got sort of a limited audience here. Raise your hand if you were in the youth group here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel when Bill Whitley was a youth leader. Two? I know, weren't you in there when he was? Or he already, Tim, weren't you there? Or he, okay. Well, if you popped in, you probably, if you ever heard Bill speak, I'm going to throw a question out for this limited audience. What was one topic that Bill Whitley always talked about to youth group? Talents. See, they got it right away. Talents. He was faithful in that in speaking about talents, which I've called gifts tonight, that are spiritual gifts. And that's sort of going to be our topic that we're going to talk about tonight and get started on. First of all, I'm going to ask another question. How many of you know what your spiritual gift is? You don't have to raise your hand. Just think about it. How many of you know what your spiritual gift is? And if you do, are you exercising it on a regular basis? You know, the Scripture tells us in 1 Peter 4:10 that each one of us who've accepted Christ as our Savior have a spiritual gift. We've been empowered, been blessed, been given a spiritual gift or talent. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I confess I sat through many a message by Bill on talents and gifts, and a lot of times it just went right over my head. And I think for many years I sort of thought that talents and gifts were associated with maybe the abilities that we have to do certain things, the personality traits that we have. And to a certain extent, that's true. God gives us things that we're better suited to do and puts us in situations where we can use the abilities that He's given us. But He also gives us specific talents and gifts that aren't necessarily related to the abilities and traits that people just see on the outside. I'd like to look at really three things that are specific about gifts and sort of establish those before we go any further. The first one we've already mentioned is, one, we all have been given a spiritual gift. The second thing is, we do not all have the same gift. And that's a good thing. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 7, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. And in Romans 12, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And we're all familiar with the example in Scripture of the body, that there's all kinds of different body parts, and one is not more important than the other, but it's essential that each function as they're supposed to for the whole body to work. And that's the same thing that's true of our gifts. So we all have been given a spiritual gift, and we all have different, or there's varying gifts that we have as a body of believers. And then one of the questions that I think made me better understand a little bit about our spiritual gifts was, why were we specifically giving giving spiritual gifts? What is the purpose of the gifts that God has given us? And from the study that I did, I found two main purposes for all the gifts that God has given us. And the first one is pretty simple, and it's something that we all should understand. It's in Acts chapter 1. It's to preach the gospel to the world. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. So the first reason for spiritual gifts is to spread the gospel. The second reason is found in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work in the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the second main reason for spiritual gifts is to build each other up, to build up the body of believers, to edify the saints. So we all have gifts. There's different gifts for each of us. And we were given gifts for two specific reasons. We have sort of a little broad overview of spiritual gifts. And tonight, I would like to take a look at one specific gift. And this is a gift that I think is rather unique in the fact that not everyone has it, but I think it's a gift or a trait or something that God wants us to do and be that all of us can apply in our lives and do, even if we don't specifically have that gift. And this is the gift of encouragement. I think this week is a prime example of needing the gift of encouragement. We think of all that's gone on. It's already been mentioned tonight in prayer, what happened in Las Vegas. We heard in some of our prayers the condition that our world is in. You know, and it's, man, it's discouraging. You guys ever get discouraged? You know, you turn on your TV and you hear the news, and it's not a lot of good things happening, is it? And I know as a personal example, you know, a lot of times I come here on Wednesday night and I am tired, I'm beat down, you know, and I'm discouraged. But every time I leave here, I'm usually encouraged by the fact that we had the good season of prayer and by the words that were said. So we all need encouragement. And I want us to look for the remaining time that we have at the gift of encouragement and how we all can sort of apply that to our lives. The gift of encouragement is found in Paul's list of gifts in Romans chapter 12. It comes from the Greek word parakles, which basically means, and this was cool, I really hadn't thought about this, it means a call to one side. Okay, what a great description of someone who is encouraging. I mean, they're not doing it from a distance. They're not preaching down at you. They're not, you know, saying, hey, I hope things get better. They're coming alongside you to lift you up. And that's what that term means in the Greek. In other words, someone is coming close to us to exhort us, to beseech us, to urge us, to comfort us, to encourage us, and to give us joy. That, to me, is a beautiful picture of a true encourager. If you think about it, in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is actually our helper and our comforter, is sometimes referred in the Greek as the paraclete, similar to Pericles, but the paraclete. And what that means is the one who comes alongside to exhort and encourage. So from the example of the Holy Spirit is one that's there with us to encourage us and strengthen us and comfort us in all situations, that root word is the same thing for those of us who are to be encouragers. The primary means by which we are to encourage one another is to remind each other of the powerful and amazing work of God, in particular, in regard to the saving work of Jesus. If you think about this, one with the gift of encouragement, first of all, they're totally bought into the sovereignty of God. Whatever happens, circumstances, doesn't matter, because they know God's in control. And if you know that, how much easier it is to go encourage someone if you know that God had a plan for whatever's going on in that particular situation. So an encourager or someone with the gift of encouragement really focuses on the sovereignty of God and not on circumstances. The gift of encouragement, or in Scripture it's sometimes referred to as exhortation, is characterized really by about seven principles. And these are things that, again, even if we don't have that specific gift, if we apply these seven principles in our life, I think it will really help build up the body of believers here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel and those that we come in contact with at work and friends and other believers that we have fellowship with. The first one is, the person with a gift of encouragement or exhortation desires to see others mature in their faith. That's a primary goal for anyone who is encouraging someone. They want to see that other person mature spiritually. We see examples of that in Paul's writings in Colossians, and it says that it's a warning to every man that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So it's our goal as an encourager to help those that are fellow believers in Christ to mature in their faith. The second thing is the person with a gift of encouragement desires to see others reach their full spiritual potential. You know, a lot of times we look at people, and I go back to some of those youth leaders and some of the things that they saw in me that I didn't see and maybe I didn't even have at the time, but they were encouraging me to do those things. I think of Dick Andrews and other folks like that who were encouraging other believers to use the talents that God had given them. And they saw spiritual potential in people. And that's something that we have to look for. You know, a lot of times it's easy for us to look for the things that are wrong or the things that we don't agree with in somebody's life. But how often do we take a long, close look at the spiritual potential that this individual has? You know, if they're encouraged and they're helped to mature in their faith, how God can use them to develop that full spiritual potential. The third thing is, a person with a gift of encouragement is quick to ask questions about a person's general welfare, often in an attempt to discover the individual's spiritual welfare. You know, you've got to be able to invest in somebody's life if you want to encourage them. You've got to find out what's going on. And let's face it, folks, we wear masks, don't we? You know, one of the things we talked about in some of these small groups was taking those masks off and being transparent. You know, and it's hard to do in a big group. But one-on-one, a lot of times, if you develop that relationship and you ask questions about what's going on in somebody's life, they're going to take that mask off. And they're going to share with you what's really going on in their life. And then you can encourage them accordingly to help them grow and mature spiritually. So ones who are encouraged will ask sincere questions and dig to find out what's going on in someone's life. A godly encourager must always point others towards Christ Jesus. This is critical because if we're trying to encourage, but all we're imparting is our own wisdom, you know, it's no different than the world. We need to be close to Scripture and we need to be grounded in what we're telling them. The truth of God's Word, the truth of Jesus Christ's life and death on the cross always should be central to the encouragement and exhortation that we give. A fifth principle that we can look at is, a person with a gift of encouragement has usually learned value in suffering. What's important about that is, many times you're encouraging somebody who's going through something right now, and they're suffering. And if you hadn't ever suffered yourself, how are you going to empathize with them? But if we have learned the value of testing and trials and suffering and what it's meant in our own lives and how God used that in a specific way, it's much easier for us to give advice and to encourage others who may be going through something that's tough at this time. The sixth principle is, those who have the gift of encouragement are concerned with the application of God's Word. If you think about it, the people with the gift of prophecy want to make sure that the truth is proclaimed. The people with the gift of teaching want to make sure it is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. But the people with the gift of encouragement, they want to find out, how can we apply this truth to our life? And so that's what we look for, and that's what we want to tell folks and encourage them, is how they can take the truth of Scripture and apply it in their individual specific situation. And then the seventh principle that we could all use is that those with the gift of encouragement want to be with people and see firsthand how they're growing in their faith. You can't be an encourager and be standoffish. You can't do it and say, well, you know, I don't want to get too close to that person. They're a little bit different from me. They may not do everything the way I do it. If you're going to encourage somebody, you got to roll up your sleeves and get in there and get to know them. You got to get close to them so that you develop that relationship and that rapport, and they're going to respect you, and they're going to listen to what you have to say. So there's seven principles that we all can apply, whether we have the gift of encouragement or not, to encourage one another here. And man, we need that. We need to be encouraged. If we look in Scripture, probably the best biblical example of someone who was an encourager, if I was to throw that out there, who would you guess? Who? Come on, don't be shy. Barnabas, okay? What did Barnabas' name mean? Son of encouragement. That wasn't his name. His name was what? Joseph. And they called him Barnabas because he was so encouraging. But he is a great example for us to look for. We see from the very beginning of when he's mentioned in Scripture that he was an encourager and he exercised that gift. One of the first times was in Acts chapter 9 and verse 27. He was sent to talk to Paul. And the Christians were a little scared of Paul. You think maybe they had some reason to be? He had had this miraculous conversion on the road to Damascus, but prior to that, he wanted to see those folks put to death. And he was zealous about it. And he had the resources, he had the desire to really inflict pain on Christians. So they were very wary of letting him come and be part of their circle. But Barnabas went, and on his behalf, he reached out. He drew up. He came alongside him, as an encourager does. And he brought back the message to the early church to break down those barriers and accept Paul for who he was, a true believer at that time. He also, in Acts chapter 13, encourages the believers to continue in the grace of God. And in Acts chapter 15, and this, Barnabas wasn't perfect. He's just like us. He was just a normal guy, just a needy person, as our brother Tico says a lot of times. We're all just needy folks. But in Acts chapter 15, we saw him choose John Mark to go on a missionary journey. And we're all familiar with the story. John Mark had deserted, if you will, on he and Paul on a previous journey. And Paul didn't want to get involved in that. He didn't want to take him with him. He didn't think it would be a good thing. And I'm not going to say Paul was wrong and Barnabas was right, but I think there was some blame on both sides there. But what we saw in Barnabas here is something that we need to be, something that God is to us. He's a God of second chances. And what did he do? He took John Mark with him. It split he and Paul, you know, and we don't see any reconciliation, really, of them getting back together and going out and doing the work together. But we see him, Paul, going out with someone else and Barnabas going out with John Mark, giving him a second chance. And we see later that even Paul mentions that he was profitable for the work of the gospel. So he encouraged him and helped him mature enough that someone who was a waste to them before, who had deserted, was later very profitable for the work of the gospel. You know, we all need encouragement in our lives. And I can't believe it. I'm actually going to quit on time tonight. You know, it's something, it's a tough world that we live in. You know, and we all need to look deep inside and reach out to God to know what specific gifts He's given us. And we need to exercise those and we need to use them. But we all can encourage one another. You know, we can all invest in each other's lives. We can all be there and come alongside one another to help us through this weary world that we're walking through until we get to that home in heaven where all is perfect. Hopefully this was just the beginning, and if we have other opportunities to talk, we'll get into some of the other gifts. But to me, it was very important tonight to start with the gift of encouragement, because you know Wednesday night, the week's wore you down. You need something to help make it through till Sunday, you know. And we need to be encouragers every day of the week. So let's just thank God for what He's given us in His Word, for those He's gifted to be encouragers. And let's all try to apply some of these principles so that we can help one another mature spiritually, reach our spiritual potential, you know, and grow as a body of believers. Let's just close in prayer. Father God, we just thank You so much for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, Lord. We thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for sending us Your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be our encourager, our comforter. Lord, we just pray that You will help each of us in our lives to apply some of these same principles and teachings that we find in Your Word, Lord, to encourage other believers, Lord, to help grow and foster spiritual maturity, Lord, to see the potential in those who maybe don't even see it themselves, Lord, and to just build up the body of believers here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel so that we're better able to serve You and reach a lost and dying world. Lord, we just pray now that You'll go with us as we separate. Thank You for this time that we've had tonight. We just commit it all into Your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.